Live from Texas Motor Speedway in Fort Worth, Texas. This is the NTT IndyCar Series on the IndyCar Radio Network.
An off-season of change unlike any other. So much has changed since Joseph Newgarden clinched the 2019 NTT IndyCar Series Championship last September. Most notable, new leadership as Roger Penske now owns the series at the famed Indianapolis Motor Speedway. His era has gotten off to a bit of a rocky start thanks to a worldwide pandemic which shelved the season opener at St. Pete, canceled some events entirely, and moved the Indy 500 to August for now. On this day, though, the focus finally returns to on-track racing as we open the season at Texas Motor Speedway. This is Mark Janes. Welcome to the Genesis 300 on IndyCar Radio. Mark Janes, I'm coming to you from our Indianapolis studios. Happy to be rejoined by our driver analyst, Davey Hamilton, back in the saddle for the 2020 campaign. And, Davey, already been an interesting day, most notably an accident in qualifying. Didn't get the season off to a very good start for Takuma Sato. Didn't look like he'll race.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's going to make it back out. Big hit. Sato, fortunately, was okay. So he's been cleared to release, but just couldn't get his car prepared in time. And this one-day event, it's really crunch time when things like that happen.
And those of you that are accustomed to our broadcast understand we typically bring you the invocation and the anthem, but because of the tight confines of the schedule and because, quite frankly, of the manner in which we are here in Indianapolis, our Nick Yeoman is in Texas, along with our engineer Nick Yeoman. We are going to bring you the sound from the command to start engines at Texas Motor Speedway in just a couple of minutes. And, Davey, I'm telling you, this could be a fascinating set of circumstances that unfolds in this race tonight. There's concern over if 35 laps is all you can get out of a set of tires, some of the traction compound that they tried to scrub off, as many believe, leading to the fact that it's going to be a single groove racetrack, the intense heat, a lot of guys with not much experience, no experience at Texas Motor Speedway. It could be a wild 200 laps. Well,
and throw a canopy in, a completely different car than these drivers and teams are used to, with a canopy on, enclosed cockpit, basically, windshield. So all those elements, you're right, Mark, right now, nobody can get in that second groove. We've seen Sato just on entry. He took a high entry, which is kind of a standard entry for qualifying, to free the car up. He hit that patch just barely, turned the car around immediately. So it seems to be a bit of a danger zone right now. So who knows? Hey, the great thing is we are racing. The downside is there's no fans in the stands, and we're not there to watch it. But we're hoping for a good night's racing anyhow.
Well, we welcome in Jake Query now. And, Jake, your thoughts and impressions on the qualifying session. Defending series champion Joseph Newgarden showed no rust at all for the long off season.
Yeah, I think the thing that was interesting is over the course of a two-hour practice session earlier this morning, we're still trying to get a gauge on who exactly was really worried about where they qualify and who thought about the fact of in this particular race in the past, maybe where you start isn't as important, and so therefore we're simply working on race-type setups. We did see four cars that made contact over the course of this day. The rookie Rinus VK very early in the practice session, then later Ed Carpenter, Ryan Hunter-Reay, and then in qualifying Takuma Sato, who notably, Mark, has a team that, I shouldn't say that as a team, that's not an indictment on them. The team itself was not able to repair the car for Takuma Sato with that short window of time. So Takuma Sato will not make this start tonight in Texas.
Just a couple of minutes away, or a couple of seconds, we should say, away from the command to start engines. While we await that, Jake, go ahead and give us the starting lineup for tonight's Genesis 300 at Texas Motor Speedway.
Starting in row number 12 by his lonesome will be second-year driver Santino Ferrucci. Then on the outside of row number 11, it is the rookie Rinus VK. He will line up alongside Jack Harvey. Row 10, Oliver Askew and Connor Daly. The ninth row on the outside is Pato O'Ward. He is alongside Marcus Erickson. Alex Palou, another rookie, will start on the outside of row number 8. James Hinchcliffe to his inside. The seventh row is Colton Herta and Ed Carpenter. Row number 6, on the outside it is Charlie Kimball. Marco Andretti will start on the inside. Row 5 is Tony Kanaan and Felix Rosenquist. The fourth row, outside of it, is Alexander Rossi. To his inside is Graham Rahal. Then in row number 3, Will Power alongside Zach Veach. Row number 2 is made up of Ryan Hunter-Reay and Simon Pagenaud. Scott Dixon starts on the outside of row number one. And on pole, as you had mentioned, the defending NTT IndyCar Series champion, Joseph Newgarden.
200 laps on this 1.5-mile race course, the 32nd race at Texas Motor Speedway over 24 years. Ari Leyendijk won the first race on June 7th back in 1997. This marks the 318th consecutive start for Tony Kanaan. Tony Kanaan with a really solid qualifying run in the 14 car. As Jake just told you, Tony Kanaan will roll off in the 10th position. Firestone brought 11 sets of tires for these race teams. That they'll use over 1,100 tires, we should say. Nine sets for these race teams. The left side, Indy 500 compound from a year ago. And the right side, last year's Texas race alternates, tested with simulated effects for the new aero screen. Going to be interesting to see how that unfolds as the engines roar to life on pit road, and we get ready to get the pace laps and the parade laps underway here at Texas Motor Speedway. As we always do, we ask one of these talented drivers to let us climb into the cockpit with them, take us on a lap around the racetrack on which they are about to compete. And tonight, the honors belong to Will Power. Takes us a lap around Texas Motor Speedway.
The front straight is not straight to start with. You got two dog legs, and it's you got to have a pretty late entry into one because it's very difficult there, less banking. You usually have a big push off of two out, right out to the wall. 3-4 this year is quite easy. It's a 3-4, bit of push off of four, and you know, that's probably definitely the easiest part of the track where most of the passes are going to happen.
Will Power takes us in a lap around Texas Motor Speedway. A couple of crews working frantically around a couple of race cars. Most notably, Alexander Rossi's car has yet to leave pit road. There's another car parked just in front of him that has yet to leave pit road. That looks like that might be the 15 machine of Graham Rahal. So, Davey, a rather inauspicious beginning for a couple of drivers we thought might be contenders.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what we want. You remember, this is an impound race, so this is the first time they're firing them back up. I see they had a side pod off of Rossi's car. I see Ryan Hunter Ray's car being pushed out at the last second, so I don't know what kind of issues they had, and now here's Graham, unfortunately, still on pit road, unable to get the car fired.
Well, and we mentioned that, you know, obviously it is a shortened season, but still, we hope there's a lot of racing left, but, you know, you don't want to look back on a campaign and say what might have been had we not gotten off to such a bad start in the season opener.
Wow, and by the way, they unplugged the starter on Graham, got the quick jack, and they're pulling him, it looks like, behind the wall. So very unfortunate for Graham Rahal. Not for sure what's going on there, but, man, just some bad, unfortunate luck. That's part of impound race. Like I say, they shut it off after qualifying. That's the last they get to touch the car, and obviously something went bad between qualifying and the start of this event.
So armed with the knowledge, Davey, that a high groove doesn't appear to be cooperating at this racetrack tonight, we'll start side by side. So the guys to the outside, do they have any sort of a conversation at all to the people around them to let them know what's going to happen at the start?
Well, the last I checked, nobody's won a race on the first lap.
Right.
I see a lot of guys try.
Right.
So the best thing in everybody's best interest, for example, even the guy starting on the bottom, is, yes, let that guy down, because he may spin and collect you. So if that's the case, and it seems to be that nobody can get on that outside groove, and I see Rossi, unapproved change right now, Mark, going to the back of the pack. I've seen that side pot off. Looks like the same thing with Graham, but I'm not sure he's going to make the green flag.
Yep, so Alexander Rossi, who had qualified eighth for this race, will now have to drop to the rear of the field in jQuery. He does so as we see them come down the main straightaway. The rest of the field now is just about to the shadows of the sweets in turn number two. They start to bunch up now, go two by two down the back straightaway.
The rear of this field is going to be made up of two drivers in Santino Ferrucci and Alexander Rossi, who not only have the talent to knife through it, but at times the tenacity early on to do exactly that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here at the outset of this race with those two in the back of the field.
Ray Hall's car. You say Nick Yeoman has fired quickly before we go to green flag?
Yeah, it's fired, and he's did the hard left turn. He's going to try to get back on the racetrack, but, Mark, we are racing.
And we are racing, in fact. Joseph Newgarden looks like he's going to get a push from Simon Pagenaud, Ryan Hunter-Reay, and others as they set sail toward turn number one. Jake, a very clean start for Joseph Newgarden.
Scott Dixon managed to find himself very comfortably into that second position. He now sets off his sights on the leader, Joseph Newgarden, but Newgarden, as they work their way out of turn number two, finds himself with about a 5-car length advantage over Scott Dixon running second. There was a lot of talk about what would happen side by side. Right now, the field single file.
Well, they fan out plenty wide down the back straightaway, but everybody jumps in again. As you suggest, Jake, single file. Scott Dixon with a really good run off of turn number two with Simon Pagenaud in tow.
A little bit further back in the field, it is Will Power who is trying to close in on Zach Veach. That right now is the battle for the fifth position, but the leader is Joseph Newgarden. Scott Dixon now trying to close in on him as they cross and complete a lap here.
They get to the start-finish line and completes the lap number two, and Scott Dixon took a peek to the high side and wisely ducked back into line. Those front three, Davey, starting to pull away a little bit.
Starting to pull away a little bit. It's going to be hard. It is hard to pass. We know that. We'll see if Scott Dixon can get big enough draft to get underneath Joseph Newgarden. Good news, guys, for the Ray Hall fans. He did make it out there. He is not a lap down at this point. So lucky for Graham that he at least made it out and hopefully can stay on the lead lap.
Jumped in behind Alexander Rossi, who with an unapproved change had to drop to the rear of the field. So we see Newgarden, Dixon, Pagenaud, Veach, the top four. Rosenquist in fifth, then Kimball, Power, Marco Andretti, Tony Kanaan is ninth, and Ed Carpenter is tenth.
That battle with Felix Rosenquist and Zach Veach might be the best on the racetrack right now. It is the battle for the fourth position. Zach Veach has it. Rosenquist was trying to get it. But as they went out of turn number one, Veach managed to get himself a little bit of breathing room. So still, the leader, of course, is Joseph Newgarden. Zach Veach, though, trying to hold off Felix Rosenquist as they enter turn number four.
Yeah, Charlie Kimball is trying to pull up on that threesome, and they do so on the back straightaway. As we watch the battle continue, Joseph Newgarden has a comfortable advantage in turn number two. Let's get an update from pit road, Nick Yeoman.
Well, again, Mark, just unbelievably frantic down here as a lot of cars not firing to start this first race of the season. Just saw drive-through penalties for Ryan Hunter-Reay and Alexander Rossi, and I heard that Graham Rahal is going to have to serve a drive-through penalty as well. So a lot of these guys, Mark, right behind the eight ball before we see the green flag.
And this is all part of that impound rule that was put into place after qualifying. Couldn't touch the cars, didn't realize there was an issue until they got them out to the grid, Davey, and then we got to work on them past the allotted time. This is the end result.
Yeah, wow. On Rossi's point, it seems like a double penalty going to the back of the pack and doing a drive-through. Both of them, usually it's one or the other. It's a little surprising there, but like I said, I don't know the exact penalties. And we'll try to get some more info exactly what happened.
A long night just got longer for Alexander Rossi. So it continues to be Joseph Newgarden, Scott Dixon, Simon Pagenaud, Zach Veach, and Felix Rosenquist. Then Charlie Kimball, Will Power, Marco Andretti, Tony Kanaan, and Ed Carpenter. Colton Herta is 11th. James Hinchcliffe is 12th. Marcus Erickson is 13th. Connor Daly is 14th. Alex Palou is in the 15th position. 16th, Pato O'Ward. 17th, Rinus VK. 18th, Santino Ferrucci. 19th, Oliver Askew. 20th, Jack Harvey. 21st, Ryan Hunter-Reay, two laps down. Graham Rahal, two laps down. Alexander Rossi, three laps down. Takuma Sato did not make the start after his qualifying crash. Davey, with the possible exception of the mechanical issues that bit Graham Rahal, Alexander Rossi, and Ryan Hunter-Reay, surprised at how clean the start was?
Yeah, no, not yes and no. I mean, first of all, these guys, it's the first race. These guys are professional. They know it's hot, it's slick. It's a challenge just to be racing tonight. So everybody minded their P's and Q's. Couple hitters. How about Connor Daly starting 19th? Already finds himself in the 14th spot, five positions ahead. So far, a good start for Connor.
Okay, so 35 laps, they're saying, ideally.
Green flag laps.
Green flag laps for a set of tires. So we're setting a pretty blistering pace early on. We've already completed 10 laps. Anybody going to get creative if this team keeps up with their pit strategy?
Well, I think the creativity is going to narrow down to a lap or two. You know, you could do 35, 35, 35, and maybe on your last two, cut them a little bit short. but and still have maybe have fresher tires towards the end of the run, but there's just not a big window unless the yellow comes out and creates more opportunity. We've seen somebody just pull off on pit road right there. Not
Graham
sure
Rahal.
It was a Graham, yeah.
Top, yeah, okay. Stop and go penalty for Graham Rahal. So the issues continue related to the mechanical issues for the 15 of Graham Rahal.
Good battle on the racetrack between Pata O'Ward and Santino Ferrucci. As we talked about, Ferrucci trying to work his way from the back of the field, managed to dispatch quickly of Pata O'Ward. Davey, that takes me to my question for you. How does it change strategy from a driver or a strategist standpoint, knowing that 35-lap pit, you know, window is there? And so, therefore, you're battling on the racetrack. Do you think to yourself, man, I might as well hold back here a little bit and try to make it up maybe in the pits?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that really takes the strategy part out of it. It pretty much lays the race out for you because, you know, it's going to be really easy to make it on tires, obviously really easy on fuel. There's no real gambling. And if it's just a straight-out race, it's pretty straightforward. And as hard as it is to pass on this racetrack, you know, I think it leaves to where, you know, it's a huge advantage being up front just the whole day.
Jack Harvey was not making it difficult for Alexander Rossi, Jake Query, but it's just the nature of this racetrack and the conditions right now. Alex had to work a little harder than I think he had hoped to try to work his way around Jack Harvey.
And he managed to do that, but keep in mind, Rossi now is still trying to work back. He is still a lap behind Jack Harvey because of the circumstances for Alexander Rossi at the outset of this race. Leader still is Joseph Newgarden. Comfortable advantage, we'll call it 8 car lengths, over Scott Dixon before you get to Simon Pagenaud, Zach Veach, and then Felix Rosenquist.
He and Dixon now starting to distance themselves mightily from Simon Pagenaud. It's a pretty decent advantage from Dixon back to Pagenaud, but again, those front three have really started to sort themselves out and pull away from Zach Veach. And again, Jake, we talked about it earlier today in the practice and qualifying session. 18th in points last year for Zach Veach. A frustrating season for him, and he was really looking forward to getting all his season off to a good start.
And I think he absolutely did that so far with the qualifying. He even said he might have dropped off a little bit in lap number two in that, but it's still a very solid qualifying effort for Zach Veach. And so, of course, he has shown here at the outset of this race he's got a good race car. And we know that Andretti Autosport, Davey had talked about it earlier, you know, there are a lot of weapons in the chamber there for Michael Andretti in terms of being able to use different setups and things like that. Certainly, Zach Veach, the setup they had for him in qualifying worked, and what they've been able to translate now over to the race situation working as well.
Davey, one more thing real quick. How difficult is it from a mental standpoint for a driver to be in the position that Rahal and Rossi find themselves in early in the race? How hard is it to keep that focus knowing that you've got such a long night ahead of you?
Well, you know, it is hard because obviously it takes a lot of air out of yourselves, especially as we just talked about, with no real strategy to play to get your lap back. It's a little more depressing at that point. So they're going to have a long night.
Before long, we'll complete 20 laps. Lap number 19 is upon us. Joseph Newgarden is your leader. He's led all the way. Scott Dixon, Simon Pagenaud, Zach Veach, Felix Rosenquist, the top five. Charlie Kimball, Will Power, Marco Andretti, Tony Kanaan, and Ed Carpenter, the top 10 at Texas Motor Speedway. We are off to a flying start. The Genesis 300 from Texas Motor Speedway. Mark James, Davey Hamilton, Jake Query, Nick Yeoman. As so far, it has been the Joseph Newgarden show. And as we speak, Jake Query, Joseph Newgarden is starting to draw a bead on the rear of the field. But as he does so, Scott Dixon starting to fill his mirrors up.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Scott Dixon really started to close it in as they exited turn number two. Now into that 3-4 turn. Again, Dixon has himself about 3 car lengths to make up on Joseph Newgarden. Newgarden then again gets a pretty decent run going into the dog leg. That's the little bend before they get onto the straight that completes a lap, and now they are already their way out of turn number two. Again, Newgarden and Dixon. Now Dixon really starting to close up on him, Mark.
So, Davey, is Dixon's car getting better, Newgarden's getting worse, or maybe a combination of both?
Probably a little combination of both, and I have to say this, interesting, guys, we usually don't see a lot of a pace drop off at this race, but with all these elements that are in play right now, the last lap that the leader made was a 201-mile-an-hour lap.
Wow.
Yeah, so way off from what we're used to seeing. And yes, right now, I think Dixon, it's hard to pass here, but he has a little bit of a run. Seems like Dixon's car's pretty good. Now, that's in dirty air, and so maybe gets out front and he can take off, but he's got to get there first.
Boy, he got close to Joseph in turn number three. Scott Dixon did, Nick Yeoman. And that car wiggled mightily, and he had to lift a little bit and lost some momentum.
Well, and as Davey just pointed out, all these three leaders with Newgarden, Dixon, and Pagenaud, they are in traffic with that lap car of Jack Harvey, and Joseph Newgarden is talking about understeer in traffic. So that's why he's not able to stretch that lead out back against Scott Dixon.
Just about ready to complete lap number 29. Joseph Newgarden, Scott Dixon, Simon Pagenaud, Zach Veach, and Felix Rosenquist, the top five. The good run continues for Charlie Kimball. He's sixth. Will Power is seventh. Marco Andretti is eighth. Tony Kanaan is ninth. And Ed Carpenter is up to 10th. Top 15 include Colton Herta, James Hinchcliffe, Marcus Erickson, Connor Daly, and Alex Palou. Been impressed with Palou, Davey. He's held serve early on.
Another first time on an oval, first time even seeing this racetrack. Doing a great job. We've seen how talented the kid is just at the open test at COTA. Knew he's going to be fast on the street road courses, but a bit of a surprise that he's this good on the ovals.
Davey, so far, again, an unbelievable pace. And Joseph Newgarden was able to stretch the advantage back out over Scott Dixon. And as we say that, Dixon starts to close a bit in turn number three. We're now within a handful of laps of that 35-lap window.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's you only go 35 green flag laps, and it's about to come up for everybody at this point. Been no yellows, so strategy is going to be taken out of it. So I see guys setting up in that lap 33, 34, 35 range. So pit window's open.
Really good run for Dixon. He's right there. They go side by side into three, Jake.
Scott Dixon has taken the lead here in Texas, and Joseph Newgarden now falls back and falls back relatively quickly. He's now got to worry about the fact that Simon Pagenaud wants to try to get that second position. So Newgarden has his teammate just behind him. Scott Dixon now sets there with a lead.
I think it kind of made sense for Newgarden just to let it go there and not push too hard as early as we are in the race.
So early in the race right now. You can see Dixon taking off. Newgarden actually got a pit right now as well. So if he's losing time on the track, might as well pit now.
So Joseph Newgarden led the first 31 laps of tonight's race in a quest to win yet another NTT IndyCar Series championship. He was the final qualifier, and he set the fast lap, and that's a good way to get your quest to repeat as a champion off to a great start. He heads to pit road and comes into the view of our Nick Yeoman.
He's got that number one pit box for being the defending series champion. And Steve Penske will go to work on that yellow and white car for Joseph Newgarden, who just gave up the lead. Looks like a clean first pit stop. Newgarden will light up those rear tires and drive back onto the racetrack.
Not too often, Davey, you come into that number one pit box in a pit sequence and be able to come in and go out all by yourself,
and that is an advantage. That's one reason they do not have to deal with other pits being set up. Another thing is, even though you can run light on fuel, the cars can run 55, 60 laps on fuel. They only have to go 35, so you never have to run a full load of fuel. So it won't take him that long. Dixon's coming in right now as well.
Yep, Scott Dixon's time at the point short-lived because we are in that pit window. Matter of fact, everybody coming to pit road. Nick Yeoman, you've got your eye on Scott Dixon.
Yeah, I can only call Scott Dixon, Mark, but there's about 20 to 21 other cars on pit lane. Scott Dixon drives that PNC Bank car into the pit box. Will Power swings to the outside. Looks like a clean stop for Dixon. As for Power, who's pitted right ahead, nice quick stop. They let Power off the jack. He'll peel out. Looks like Felix Rosenquist, though, stayed ahead of him as they all exit pit lane.
Looks like a good stop for Simon Pagenaud as well. Zach Veach, I don't know, Davey, I think only one or two cars stayed out. I mean, Joseph Newgarden had pitted a lap before essentially everybody else on the racetrack.
Yeah, and I think it's going to pay off for Joe. Well, maybe not. Dixon is going to be able to sustain the lead. Newgarden's going to file in right behind him. I thought maybe he make up that little bit of time lost on new tires over Dixon, but right now Dixon is going to hold that lead.
Zach Veach stayed out to lead a lap, Nick Yeoman. Marco Andretti joined him on pit road just now along with Hinch and Erickson.
Yeah, those two just wrapped up their pit service. It does not look like Veach is going to stay out ahead of Dixon or Newgarden. He's going to blend his way back into the racetrack. He was running fourth, but Veach pretty happy with that race car.
And we saw Ryan Hunter-Reay come to pit road for service. He's getting that now, but Jake, he's got a long night ahead of him because of early penalties.
He does, and because Ryan Hunter-Reay, now we have an incident. This is going to be taking place, it looks like.
Backstretch.
As I take a look at it on the backstretch here, can't tell right now who it is. It is a two-car incident. We will let you know who it is as soon as we are able to determine. I believe one of those is Renus VK. Renus VK is one of the two cars involved. We will wait to find out who the other is at this time. And, Mark, I'm not able to tell. It is Alex Palou. So we have, or Palou, we have two rookies involved here in this incident.
So it's Renus VK and Alex Palou, lap 37. Caution on the course at Texas Motor Speedway. A two-car incident, 55 of Alex Palou, and we had just said that, quite frankly, he had done pretty well through practice and qualifying and had been running solidly into the top 15. But, Davey, you had a chance to take a look at the incident that also involved Renus VK, who's had a long day at Texas Motor Speedway.
Yeah, VK has had a tough day. Another big-time rookie mistake. Just got completely out of groove down in turns one and two. Got really high up in the slick stuff, went even above the seal coat, which is dirty and nobody's been up there all day. Lost control, come down, and Palou just had nowhere to go. Just tagged him. No, neither car is damaged terrible, but enough to put them both out for the
And our apologies for the initial misidentification and late identification because, again, we're working off monitors in our Indianapolis studios with Nick Yeoman on pit road at Texas Motor Speedway. And, you know, those numbers are tiny enough on those cars when we're there.
Yeah.
But trying to pull them off this monitor can be a little challenging. But we're soldiering through most assuredly as we continue on their caution. But what a clean 37 laps we'd had up until that point, Davey.
Very clean. And I expect to see more clean racing like this for the reason of when you're not side-by-side, nose-to-tail, in pack racing, usually if it's a one line, long as you stay out of trouble and stay on the bottom of the racetrack, you're usually going to be pretty safe. So, like I say, a little bit of a rookie mistake there. He's had a tough day, tough night, but he has a lot that he go think about. He's a great race driver. He's gonna be fine, but just rookie mistakes tonight.
Bad news for Tony Kanaan. It had been a trouble-free day for TK. As a matter of fact, he was running solidly in the top 10 after that round of stops. Davey, rear of the field, pit road speed violation.
Oh, no. So is that a stop-and-go or just rear of the field?
He moves to the rear of the field.
Yeah, rear field. Okay, well, he could overcome that, actually. I know it's not great because the strategy is not out there, and it's hard to pass, but that's unfortunate because Tony's having a good run. His teammate, Charlie Campbell, we already mentioned him earlier, he finds himself in that seventh position in that A.J. Foyt racing car, so good job on him.
Well, after this caution and the round of stops, let's go ahead and give you a full field rundown as they run now with 42 laps complete. Scott Dixon, your leader. Joseph Newgarden is second. Simon Pagenaud is third. Felix Rosenquist is fourth. Zach Veach is fifth. Will Power is sixth. Charlie Kimball is seventh. Marco Andretti is eighth. Ed Carpenter is ninth. Tony Kanaan is 10th. Connor Daly, 11th. James Hinchcliffe is 12th. Marcus Erickson is 13th. Colton Herta is 14th. Padua Ward is 15th. Santino Ferrucci is 16th. 17th is Oliver Askew. 18th a lap down is Jack Harvey. Brian Hunter-Reay in 19th a lap down. Two laps down in 20th, Alexander Rossi in 21st, Graham Rahal. Renus VK is 22nd. Alex Palou is 23rd. And Takuma Sato, who did not start as a result of a qualifying crash, will finish 24th here at the Genesis 300 at Texas Motor Speedway. And Jake, nearest we can glean what we suspected based upon what the drivers were telling us early on, it may have had a lot to do with this accident that brought out this caution. This is not yet a two-groove racetrack.
Yeah, and we were wondering throughout the course of the practice, and even in qualifying, you noticed that everybody was trying to get down there to that bottom line, and eventually maybe that outside groove comes in. There are some drivers, I've always felt like outside grooves, it's a lot like rain. Every driver tells you they love it, but you really find out which ones do once it's there. Guys like Marco Andretti, Alexander Rossi, they're not afraid to get up there. But Renus VK, his second incident of the day. This one collects another rookie as well in the form of Alex Palou. And as a result of that, the first caution of the day here as we get set to get back to racing in Texas.
Davey, how tough is it this time of day at Texas Motor Speedway when off of turn number two and down the backstretch you're either washed in sun or staring into the sun, but then once you get back around to four, you're into the shadows?
So what we used to do, because we had tear-offs, and you don't need tear-offs anymore with a windshield in the car, but what we used to do, Mark, was very easy. We put tinted tear-offs on our helmets because the sun was affecting us pretty big time, and we could even put visor strips on those tinted tear-offs to block the sun. And then when the nighttime came, you pull the tinted ones on, you had clear, and you're good to go. these windshields play a whole different part. You don't need, like I say, you don't need tear-offs in your helmet anymore because nothing, no debris can get to it. So you maybe have to do that with the tear-offs on the windshields. I'm not sure about that, but it's definitely a hindrance looking into the sun coming off of turn four.
Jake, recap the top 10 before we go back to green.
The top 10 as it stands right now. Joseph Newgarden is your leader. He is just in front of Simon Pagenaud. The fourth place runner is Felix Rosenquist. Zach Veach runs in the fifth position. Then Will Power, Charlie Kimball, Marco Andretti, and Carpenter runs ninth. And Tony Kanaan listed as 10th, but he's going to have a penalty because of the fact that he had a speeding penalty, Mark. So that theoretically is going to push him back. That would put Connor Daly into the top 10.
So early on, it looks as though that Dixon and Newgarden are the two guys that are most hooked up. And we'll see if that trend continues as they work their way down the back straightaway and get ready to go back to green flag racing. We see the 60 car Sirius XM AutoNation machine of Jack Harvey right now serving as a bit of a buffer between second place running Joseph Newgarden and third place running Simon Pagenaud. They come off of turn number four and they start to pick up speed. Scott Dixon continues to lead the way, and he got a great restart while Joseph Newgarden is doing all he can to try to keep pace. They fan out toward the rear of the field, three or four wide, but again, a couple of those cars were watching fan out, trying to get around Ed Carpenter a little wide. Alexander Rossi goes way wide off of turn number two and narrowly avoided that wall.
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm watching Rossi because I know that on the restarts that he's pretty darn good. He went to that second groove, and I'll tell you what, he went in that second groove very much off the pace, so had a slow run, and the car just took off. I mean, even on a slow pace, we see Charlie Kimball. He's going to try an outside move on, who is that? Is that Zach? Yeah, Zach Veach right now. He can't make it stick either. Just that outside groove, there's just nothing there for those guys.
Veach and Kimball going to grab that spot. Meanwhile, Felix Rosenquist, Simon Pagenaud, Jake, those guys doing all they can to work their way around Jack Harvey. Credit Jack, though, he's trying to stay out of the way.
Really interested spectator in that battle between Veach and Kimball was Will Power. All of a sudden, it kind of settled itself out, put Power in the fifth position. Rosenquist is in fourth. Veach and Kimball just behind Will Power. Leader continues to be Scott Dixon. Everybody's single file. Now all of a sudden they're going to go three wide coming off of turn number two. Ed Carpenter in the front of that action. Alexander Rossi continues to get pushed up towards the outside of the racetrack. The leaders are already exiting turn number two.
Davey, it's not out of the question that you go three wide down that back straightaway. You can't do it down the front straightaway because of the dogleg, but one thing's for sure, if you're going to go three wide, you better get it sorted out before you get to turn
three. Yeah, that's right. You want to be the inside guy with a bit of a lead if that's going to happen. And Rossi, I don't know if he's got debris on his tires or what. He just cannot get back up to speed. Guy's going to buy him pretty easily, and he finds himself in that 20th position right now.
Veach and Kimball was a pretty good battle for a while. Looks like Charlie's having a bit of trouble keeping pace with that battle now. That is the battle for the sixth position. Veach has sixth. Kimball has seventh. So the top five, though, Dixon, Newgarden, Simon Pagenaud, Rosenquist. Look who's hanging around in the top five, Jake, Will Power.
Yep, Will Power is right there. And I'll tell you what, who's not really hanging around with the top five, that's Scott Dixon, the leader, because he has really set sail off that restart. Scott Dixon now has a comfortable advantage over Joseph Newgarden. Newgarden is starting to get a lot of attention from Simon Pagenaud just behind him.
Yep, Simon Pagenaud just about a car length behind him. As a matter of fact, he sees the car goes to the bottom of the racetrack, tucks right in behind him, wants to go high. They'll go side by side to the start-finish line. We'll keep an eye on that battle between Newgarden and Simon Pagenaud into turn number two as we check in with Dick Gelman.
All right, Alex Flo, the rookie, is out of the race. Alex, was there anything you could have done there?
I don't think so. Not that I know of. Maybe now going back instead of going low, I would have gone high. But, yeah, it's easy to say now. I need to watch a video. Maybe I could have done something better, but not with the experience we have now. But, yeah, it's just a shame. The car's been really good. I was getting comfortable and up to speed. Like, every lap I was better and better. I was just following the guys in front and trying to get my car balance right for the last stints. Unfortunately, we were not able to do that. A big shame because the car was really good. I think we were good, and we'll need to be ready for the next one.
All right, tough break for the rookie as he is out early, but a lot of promise for that young Spaniard, Mark James.
Davey, Simon Pagenaud's made a couple of runs at Joseph Newgarden, but as he gets close to him, I don't think Dirty Air is his friend right now.
Yeah, you know, exactly right, Mark. I think Simon definitely has a faster race car than his teammate of Joseph Newgarden, but he just can't get close enough to make that pass before they get to the corner, because you need to get side by side. So Joseph has to give up the corner because nobody wants to go in that second groove. So even though he's faster, he's having a hard time getting by him.
And Jake, as Pagenaud continues to be frustrated by the fact that he can't chase down and pass Joseph Newgarden, he's starting to get a hint in his mirrors of the 10 machine of Felix Rosenqvist.
Read my mind, Mark. I was just about to say Felix Rosenqvist is not letting that get out of his sights at all. And then just behind Rosenqvist, that trio between Power, Veach, and Charlie Kimball gets interesting. Scott Dixon will let those guys play it out all they want as he works his way in towards turn number three. The field is now exiting in through or going into turn at number two. So pretty good and sizable gap right now for Scott Dixon over Joseph Newgarden.
56 laps complete. We've had two leaders. Joseph Newgarden led the first 34 laps that Scott Dixon took over. He leads now. Joseph Newgarden, Simon Pagenaud, Felix Rosenqvist, and Will Power the top five. Zach Veach, Charlie Kimball, Marco Andretti, Ed Carpenter, and Connor Daly, the top 10 at Texas Motor Speedway. Closing in on what we think will be round two of pit stops, just ready to complete lap number 63, and it's been the Joseph Newgarden, Scott Dixon show early on, Davey Hamilton.
It sure has, and it continues to be. There's one more guy, though, that's Simon Pagenaud. He's in that third position, wanting to make something happen, just can't quite get there. Then you got Rosenqvist right behind him, so action could happen. Now, we got to remember, the rule is 35 green flag laps, so these guys won't be pitting. There were several yellows there, so we'll keep track of pit lane and pit road right now and when they're going to be able to pit.
Let's continue to be impressed by the run of Zach Veach in sixth, Charlie Kimball in seventh. How about Marco in eighth? And Connor Daly has that Carlin Racing machine inside the top ten.
Yeah, very impressive with that machine and Connor Daly. Carlins have great guys. They have what it takes to be race winners and champions. Just the IndyCar the last couple of years, they've done a lot of trial and tribulation. But I'm thinking this year they may have a handle on it and they're going to have fast race cars.
James Hinchcliffe is running in the 11th position. Colton Herta is 12th. Good run from Marcus Ericsson so far in 13th. Pato O'Ward and Oliver Askew running 14th and 15th, respectively. Santino Ferrucci is in the 16th position, 17th to Tony Kanaan. Jack Harvey is 18th. Ryan Hunter-Reay, 19th. Alexander Rossi, 20th. Graham Rahal is 21st. Rinus VK is 22nd. Alex Palou is 23rd. Takuma Sato did not start after a crash in qualifying. And Jake, some guys that we thought might be contenders based upon their starting positions, Ryan Hunter-Reay, Alexander Rossi, Graham Rahal, their nights got off to difficult starts because of mechanical woes.
And then you throw in Tony Kanaan, who had that penalty that shuffled him back to the back of the field. So it makes things interesting. And if you're Scott Dixon, you're Joseph Newgarden, you're thinking to yourself, that is fewer competition for me running up front, at least for now. Now, Santino Ferrucci, for example, who started near the back because he did not make a qualifying effort, you see that he's already made up some ground runs in the 16th position. So it shows that you can, in fact, make up real estate once you get out there, but it's a matter of deciding if and when you're going to go ahead and make that push to go for it. Felix Rosenqvist, who we've talked about, has been very strong. He is trying to close in right now on Simon Pagenaud. That's the battle for the third position. Scott Dixon and Joseph Newgarden have that battle well in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, Rosenqvist has given it a strong run in his quest to overtake Simon Pagenaud. But again, Davey, much like the issue had Pagenaud had earlier with Newgarden, once he pulls up on him, that dirty air just disrupts that race car.
Just disrupts the race car, and like I say, that's going to happen regardless of what aero package you have or what screen. That just happens going this fast in these type of race cars. The hindrance is the racetrack itself with that sealer up in that top groove that they put there, I guess, for NASCAR. Just doesn't work for our cars. There's just absolutely no grip up there.
Are you a little surprised that Scott Dixon has been able to pull away from second place running Joseph Newgarden by almost 7 seconds?
I'm not surprised that Dixon pulling away from anybody. That guy, he just, you know, he's amazing, and the car's super fast. I think he might as well at this point. I mean, if it's green flag stops, he might as well get as big advantage as he can, and you're not worried about fuel or tires, so might as well get that lead.
Yeah, 71 laps now. what's complete. And again, Jake, they're going down the back straightaway at the halfway point now. Rosenquist continues to stalk Simon Pash. You know, he just can't do much with it.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's interesting is, you know, so often we have seen, and I think there was a lot of thought about the fact that perhaps we might see what we know as the old-fashioned pack racing taking place. That is not necessarily taking place so far tonight. We are seeing single file as of right now. Now, once that middle groove kind of comes in, maybe that changes just a little bit. We have seen some good battles on the racetrack. The one that we are keeping our closest eye on is that of Simon Pagenaud and Felix Rosenquist. But again, that second-year driver, Felix Rosenquist, out of Chip Ganassi, not able to close in just yet, although now, just as I say that, all of a sudden, he got right on the rear wing of Simon Pagenaud. But once they get in through turn number two, Pagenaud starts to get just a little bit of breathing room. Might be a little faster in the corners than Rosenquist.
You heard when we gave you the top 10 and the top 15, the fact that there are a lot of recent Road to Indy graduates that are interspersed in that top 15. They're all throughout the starting grid, in fact, as he really gets a good run off of turn number four now. We'll get back to that in just a minute, but we've got some outstanding action setting up for turn number one now. Felix Rosenquist all over Simon Pagenaud.
Rosenquist is doing everything he can to try to get by the Frenchman. That includes getting inside of him coming off of turn number two. And Felix Rosenquist is going to take that spot away from Simon Pagenaud.
Maybe that kid could wheel a race car.
Yes, he can. And you know it's a good race car, as we talked about. Chip Ganassi produces good pieces. This kid is on it. He's not only a race contender, he's a championship contender as well.
And we're looking back at the pack at some of the cars that are off the pace and a couple of laps down. And we just saw Scott Dixon make a couple of aggressive moves around back markers. Davey, his car appears to be handling about as well as it is.
Yeah, as well as it can. Like I say, he still has the same issues. We've seen it. It took him a long time to get by Joseph Newgarden, but once he got by him, he was really able to check out.
Well, we talked about, again, we've got debris on the course now. We talked a little bit earlier about that pit window starting to open up. But before we get to it, we have caution on the course here at Texas Motor Speedway. Lap 78 of 200 here at Texas Motor Speedway. Scott Dixon, your leader. Joseph Newgarden, Felix Rosenquist, Simon Pagenaud, Will Power, Zach Veach, Marco Andretti, Charlie Kimble, Ed Carpenter, and Connor Daly, the top 10. And caution on the course for debris, and they have dispatched the sweepers. And, Davey, we expect business to pick up on pit road very, very soon.
Well, hopefully
I'll tell you what, Davey, let's get your thoughts in just a minute. Let's hear from Rinus Vinkay. Nick?
Yeah, Rinus Vinkay has emerged out of the infield care center. Rinus, walk us through what happened there in the incident.
Yeah, I was having a good race without having any race running in practice. I think it was pretty good, but I did an early stop, and I caught back on Santino, got around him on the outside, but got a little loose, was fighting it through the whole corner in turn two. And I just eventually lost it and got collected by Alex, which really sucks. It's unfortunate for both teams. And I have to say sorry to the team, and it's all blame on me.
All right, it's a tough debut for Rinus Vinkay, but good to see he is okay. Meanwhile, Mark James, looks like things getting awful busy on pit lane.
Yep, Scott Dixon, your leader, comes to pit road for service. He's joined by Felix Rosenquist and Joseph Newgarden. Rosenquist's crew with an unbelievable stop of 6.5 seconds and a pretty good race off of pit road. And, Davey, I think it came down to maybe between Rosenquist and Joseph Newgarden, who was in the first pit box.
Wow, very interesting. That first pit box is a big advantage. Oh, we see
Will Power.
Will Power stalls it. Oh, that's unfortunate for him. They're getting it fired back up. But when everybody comes in like that, that first pit box is a definite advantage.
So it looks like Joseph Newgarden, then Felix Rosenquist, and then Scott Dixon. So it's not often you see the Wolfpack come onto pit road P1 and come out P3.
No, not at all. And I think he had to go around. Oh, look what happened to Will Powers. As Scott Dixon was going around him, Will went to take off. His right rear was not on. Now, we don't see that very often either with the Penske guys. Back to the crew guys making a big difference. Nerves are rolling, but somehow that right rear did not get locked on. It came off immediately.
It's a good thing that happened there.
Right there, that's right. He could have been, even if he's 10 foot farther down the road, you're right. It's Newgarden, Rosenquist, and then Dixon. Wow, that is surprising.
That's a great stop by the crew of Felix Rosenquist as they get him on and off pit road. But How about the stop that Joseph Newgarden had? I mean, you know, Newgarden, his handling went away in that second stint a little bit. I mean, he wasn't as racy as he was in that first stint, but his crew got him off pit road P1.
Yeah, and that, like I say, that first pit stop makes a big, big difference. He didn't have to go around anybody to get out, and that was probably the difference. If he would have had to maneuver around a car in front of him to get out, that takes that little bit of extra time, and he didn't have to do that, puts him in P1.
We have been green now for around 40 minutes or so, and Davey, we're coming up on the halfway point.
Isn't that amazing how fast? It's going fast. There's no question about it.
And I think you got to give a lot of credit. I mean, there was a lot of consternation, a lot of uncertainty coming into this because of all the variables. Jake, we talked about that aero screen. We talked about the issues with the Firestone tires. We talked about the heat. We talked about the lack of experience. All those things combined, and all these drivers expressed a little concern about what would unfold. And I know it's still a long race, still a lot of laps to go, but a pretty impressive performance turned in by a lot of drivers here early on tonight.
The two storylines that most intrigued me coming in, the first being five rookies out there, including one who, for all intent and purposes, has never been on an oval and was taken out of this race really at no fault of his own. The other one being the fact that Firestone coming in and not really having the time to put together a compound to the exact specification of this track. And, you know, so far so good, hats off to them. And the fact that everybody took the proper precautions to make sure, A, that they were being safe, but B, that they were being racing, and that's where we are right now.
Want to get back to those comments earlier. Of course, the Indy Lights season shelved for this year. Only about six cars were going to roll off the grid. So Roger Penske going to work with Anderson Promotions and do a bit of a reboot and then a relaunch for 2021. And earlier this week, Jack Arup, who hosts a show on Sirius and XM every Wednesday night, along with A.J. Allmendinger, caught up with the captain, Roger Penske, to get his thoughts and impressions on what Indy Lights will look like in 2021.
We really only had six or seven cars that we thought might compete. And we can't be putting on a series with six or seven cars. I think that's a detriment to the brand. And I feel what we're going to sit down with Anderson and with the teams that are competing and look at maybe a new rule package for even for 21 that we can maybe bring Indy Lights where we each team that's registered as a leader circle team will provide at least one entry. So we can bring that back, and that'll be a key part of our ladder series to bring these guys up the ladder into the Indy 500.
That last comment about that leader card entry being involved, that caused your eyebrows to raise up.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting because that will, at that point, that's going to generate more cars in the Indy Lights series. And I think it's a great deal that these Indy cars, I mean, some have done it in the past. Even A.J. Foyt had Indy Lights cars with Carpenter and Anthony Foyt the fourth driving them. Chip's had them, but right now it's really only Chip or Michael Andretti having Indy Lights, but I think that would be healthy as long as it doesn't hurt the teams that do not have Indy cars. You know, for example, the guys that have been there a long time with Juco. Well, Juco's does, I guess, not full time, but Bilardi's and a few of these teams. Hopefully, it encourages some of those guys. But I think Roger will tell you if you cut the cost, get the budgets down, it's going to allow more people to afford to do it. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. It's just cutting the budget to where it's affordable to run Indy Lights because it is the road to Indy, and those are some great drivers that come out of it.
Getting ready to restart, Newgarden, Rosenquist, Dixon, Pagano, Veach, Kimball, Carpenter, Herta, Andretti, and James Hinchcliffe, the top 10, as we are back to green flag racing. And Scott Dixon wants to go to the high side of Felix Rosenquist at the start-finish line. Jakey's going to make quick work of him into turn number one.
Yep, Dixon gets past his teammate now. He sets his sights on the leader, Joseph Newgarden. Rosenquist going to tuck in just behind him. Dixon started to look down towards the inside entering turn number four, but now they're going to go single file. It's Joseph Newgarden followed by Scott Dixon and then Felix Rosenquist.
Front four starting to gain a measure of separation already. Scott Dixon moves a bit lower to disrupt that air behind Rosenquist, who got a really good run into turn number one. His car washed up a little bit. He really starts to draw a beat on him again, though. Rosenquist wants second place, Jake, into turn number three.
Yeah, Rosenquist is trying to get that spot back. Can't do it just yet. Then running in the fourth position is Simon Pagano. Just behind him, Zach Veach and Charlie Kimball in a pretty good battle for fifth. But we again look back up front. It's Joseph Newgarden starting to get a little bit of breathing room now. Calling a four-car length advantage over Scott Dixon.
Dixon's car wiggled just a little bit through that dog leg, and that cost him some momentum. Newgarden's able to pull away. Set up for turn number three, a five-car length advantage over third place running Felix Rosenquist.
Seemed as though in the corners is where Newgarden is able to make up just a little bit of ground, and again, he's going to try to do that over Dixon. They enter the dog leg now. Rosenquist starting to come back in on his teammate Scott Dixon, but it's about a five-car length advantage for Joseph Newgarden.
Those two stay tight. Simon Pagano trying to keep pace, not able to do it just yet. Zach Veach is fifth, Charlie Kimball is sixth, Ed Carpenter seventh, Marco Andretti, Colton Herta, Connor Daly the top ten, and Davey, in the next verse is the same as the first. Catching them and passing them is two different things, although Scott Dixon just made quick work of Joseph Newgarden.
I tell you what, Dixon has a great hot rod. I mean, he, and you look, when Dixon made that pass, Newgarden gets in that dirty air and just has to completely lift, which allows Rosenquist to get right behind him as well. We'll see if Rosenquist can get by him this lap as well.
So the advantage gained by an outstanding pit stop is lost for now for Joseph Newgarden in terms of going to P1. And Jake, Scott Dixon has already pulled away to one whale of an advantage. Meanwhile, Newgarden's got some concerns in the form of Felix Rosenquist.
Yeah, Rosenquist. Right now, Newgarden finds himself, if you will, the meat of the proverbial Ganassi sandwich, because Dixon in front of him, Rosenquist behind him, and now Scott Dixon starting to check out just a little bit. Rosenquist has been very good in trying to draw in. Now he's going to look to the outside of Newgarden, not able to make the pass just yet.
An update on Will Power. He had that issue, Davey, where the wheel came off. He was able to kind of try to keep pace, was able to get back out, keep from going a lap down, but he did fall all the way to 17th.
17th. Ryan Hunter-Reay is next on his radar. He's right behind him right now. We'll see how long it takes Will Power to pass these guys and get back towards in contention.
Some of the guys we talked about early, Jake, that have been impressive, that have been able to hold serve. Zach Veach in fifth, Charlie Kimball in sixth, Marco Andretti in eighth, Colton Herta ninth, and Connor Daly continues to run 10th.
Yeah, really impressive run for Connor Daly in particular. Now, you take a look at that top 10. Interesting note, Mark, when you really look at it. Scott Dixon, the leader, and then Felix Rosenquist running in third, Simon Pagenaud of fourth. The only three of the top 10 not born in the United States.
So, Davey, the question being, okay, so if you're Connor Daly, you may not have a car capable of getting up there and running for a podium. However, how important is it for Connor and the race team to recognize that, saying, look, from this point forward, our goal is to make sure we stay right here in the top 10 and really get this season off to a positive start?
Well, I think it's very key. And if you, as we know, as I said before, Carlin has fantastic people. I mean, some very smart engineers and crew guys. They're switched on. They're a great team. It's just they haven't found that combination. I think they made some changes over the winter. Matter of fact, I know they did. As far as just some equipment that they're using and really kind of stepping back to get back, regroup. And Connor being able to do this for him is just outstanding. I think if they just keep building each other up and keep giving each other confidence, they're going to continue to run this, you know, up front.
95 laps complete now. Scott Dixon, your leader. Joseph Newgarden, Felix Rosenquist, Simon Pagenaud, Zach Veach, Charlie Kimball, Ed Carpenter, Marco Andretti, Colton Herta, Connor Daly, the top 10. 11th is Marcus Erickson. 12th is James Hinchcliffe. 13th is Oliver Askew. 14th is Santino Ferrucci. 15th is Pato O'Ward. 16th is Ryan Hunter-Reay. 17th is Will Power. 18th is Tony Kanaan. 19th is Jack Harvey. 20th is Alexander Rossi. 21st is Graham Rahal. Out of the race, 22nd, Rinus VK. 23rd, Alex Pillow out of the race. Takuma Sato did not make the start due to a crash in qualifying. He finishes 24th. We pause 10 seconds for stakes identification. This is the IndyCar Radio Network. Just past halfway, welcome to Saturday night edition of the Scott Dixon Show at Texas Motor Speedway. What a dominant performance he has turned in. He's bumped the lead up to 3.5 seconds. And Davey, Joseph Newgarden, through the first 33-some-odd laps or so, was awfully dominant. But since that time, it's been all Scott Dixon.
All Scott Dixon. But, you know, it's been a good race for that second position with Scott Dixon's teammate doing all he can. Felix Rosenquist trying to get by him, and Simon Pagenaud right behind him, waiting for either one of those guys to make a small mistake to take advantage of. Another good run by Zach Veach in that fifth position, hanging in there. The highest running Andretti car, so it's good to see that as well.
Lap 105 just past halfway. Let's check in with Nick Yeoman on pit road.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Mark, that Scott Dixon's got the fastest car right now. I think Felix Rosenquist, his teammate, feels like he's got a pretty good car as well. In fact, he admitted that Joseph Newgarden's holding him up a little bit, and that's backed up watching the stopwatch, because every lap it seems like Scott Dixon is pulling 2 to 3 car lengths, 2 to 3 tenths of a second on those drivers running second and third. Also, an update on the tire wear. Looks like, Mark, we're probably about 12 to 15 laps away from those pit stops.
You know, Jamie, I continue to be amazed at just how talented these drivers are. Even the drivers that might not have a lot of experience in an NTT IndyCar. I mean, all week long, you know, we talked about the heat. We talked about the aero screen. We talked about the tire dig and the fact that, you know, guys needed to shake the rust off, even the most talented and experienced of drivers. But, boy, the show that they put on so far tonight has been pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's been very impressive. And what I really like about it is it just shows the diversity of these teams and how each team could be so competitive. And when you look at this, you know, you got a Ganassi car and a Penske car first and second. No surprise there. Matter of fact, in the top four. But then you got Andretti in a fifth spot. And then how about this? A.J. Foyt with Charlie Kimball in that sixth position. Good run for those guys. And another one for Marco Andretti. I mean, him running an eighth, that's a good run for Marco.
Thanks for tuning in to the NTT IndyCar Series on stations all across the U.S. tonight, including WBRG in Lynchburg, Virginia, KYDT in Pine Haven, Wyoming, and KBDT in Dallas, Texas, not too far from where you'll find this fabulous facility. And Davey, I remember back in 1997, the first time I ever saw Texas Motor Speedway, I was riding in a rental car with the late Gary Lee and Ken Double. That tells you how long ago it was. And we came up over the hill on 35W, and it came into view just past Alliance Airport. And I thought, what on earth is that?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Unbelievable. It was a palace in the middle of nowhere. You go today, and what do you see? The highway going there from the airport was a two-lane little road going through Grapevine or whatever all that is there. Now it's commercial from the time you leave DFW to that racetrack. So I don't know if the racetrack made that area grow or vice versa, but, man, Eddie Gossage found a good place to build this place.
Well, and if they've added nothing else, Jake Query is most pleased to the fact that they added Bucky's Convenience Store.
Best.
And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But, Jake, right now, that battle between Felix Rosenquist, Joseph Newgarden, heating up in the main straightaway.
Yeah, this has been a good one for the last couple of laps because Rosenquist first was involved with his teammate Scott Dixon. Then once Dixon cleared that and dispatched him, Joseph Newgarden, now all of a sudden, Rosenquist finds himself right there between those two Penske's, talking about just in front of him, Joseph Newgarden, just behind him, Simon Pagenaud. But he's going to try to take a really hard look at Newgarden. Is Felix Rosenquist entering turn number three, not able to be able to make the pass. He gets right on that rear wing, and then all of a sudden, that number 10 machine, it's as if the aerodynamics push him off just a little bit, not able to clear Newgarden just yet.
Meanwhile, Scott Dixon continues to pull away to about a seven-second lead. So, Davey, in order for Newgarden to kind of get close to the area code that Scott Dixon appears to be in now, what changes, if any, can they make to that race car in the next round of stops?
Well, that's one thing. You know, it appears that it's understeer for Newgarden, where that car just won't turn like he needed to turn. So you could definitely add some nose wing, which makes a big difference at these speeds. So I would assume that we're going to see a front nose wing change for Newgarden. And they're sneaking up on it. You know, they're not out of this yet. Plenty more pit stops to go. Matter of fact, window's going to open up here in about six more laps.
Is it tougher for Newgarden right now, or is it tougher for Rosenquist in this two-car battle?
Well, I think, you know, it's tougher for Newgarden because he's having to defend, and he's having to look behind him as much as he is in front of him. And Rosenquist has a lot more confidence, even though he's behind him. But he knows eventually he's going to get by him. He's going to figure out a way. And it seems that Newgarden's car goes slower and slower as the run goes on, where Felix's car seems to be speeding up.
So when Newgarden sees Rosenquist to start to get a run, when Felix starts to get a run on Joseph, when he gets close to him, we talk about dirty air. When does a driver start to feel, what does it feel like when that air is disrupting the car?
Yeah, you really feel it about 10 cars back, but when you get within two or three cars, when it really affects your car and takes the air off of your car, you feel it, you feel the car moving around, but you lose just total grip when you get within a couple cars.
Let's say that you're Felix Rosenquist right now and you're trying to make that move, Davey, and you know that that air is coming off that dirty air. Do you just go ahead and try to chip away at it, or do you assume it's not going to change and so therefore pick the moment when you decide it's worth the risk.
Well, he may pick at that moment right now as he's right behind him and finally gets below him, going down the back straightaway, and he's going to make that pass. Just that, exactly what he did, just chipped away at it until he finally got enough momentum.
Stopped Tugart just a little high and took him underneath.
To that point, though, we just saw Colton Herta come to pit road, so that window starting to open up a bit, and with Joseph Newgarden led that first stint, Davey, that's when he lost the lead, was about three laps from the opening of that pit window.
Yeah, that's right. And so and that shows where he starts losing that grip and just starts slowing down. So, matter of fact, his teammate goes by him as well. Simon Pagenaud takes that third position. So right now, when you're losing that much time on the racetrack, it's time to get the pits. I wouldn't be surprised to see Newgarden on pit lane like this lap.
Well, he better hurry because he's in danger of going down another spot, Jake, as they set up toward turn number one. Zach Veach is really laying all over Joseph Newgarden.
Yeah, and Veach has just behind him Charlie Kimball, who's got about five car lengths or so to make up. Now Veach is going to sweep to the outside. Newgarden, I think, might be pulling off to go into the pits. That's going to allow Zach Veach, of course, to make up that spot. Charlie Kimball as well. Joseph Newgarden heads to pit road.
So as the attack continued on Joseph Newgarden, it involves Zach Veach and Charlie Kimball, which turns into a pretty good battle into turn number one. Joseph Newgarden, your defending series champion and your pole sitter, is making that 60-mile-an-hour haul down pit road. He is in the first pit box, and he comes into the view of Dick Elbin.
And he was pretty vocal over the radio over the last 5 to 10 laps about the handling of that car going away. It's a four-tire stop. We'll take a look if they're going to make an adjustment. Yep, it looks like about a half a turn on the front wing. Good stop. Newgarden back down and away.
As we mentioned, Colton Herta is who opened up this window first. Just behind Joseph Newgarden, the Wolfpack goes to work. The PNC Bank machine of Scott Dixon. Last time they lost him a couple of spots on pit road, but this time it looked very, very clean. How about the stop of Simon Pagenaud?
Yep, Simon Pagenaud in that silver, black, and white car. A little slow on the right rear tire. He peels out. It looks like Felix Rosenquist made a pit stop as well. Getting very busy, Mark. It looks like the entire field has made their way down to pit lane. Will Powers' crew, they're going to go to work for Team Penske. Of course, trying to bounce back from that pit incident earlier. It's a good stop for Powers as he'll follow Alexander Rossi and Ryan Hunter-Reay back onto the track.
Yep, Zach Veach was among the front runners also that made stops off and on pit road. And Davey, is there a more difficult job on that pit box than the traffic cop and trying to get your car in and out safely?
No, without a doubt, that is more difficult. That's one advantage. Like I said, Colton Herta went in and early, so he didn't have all that. But I'll tell you what, Joseph Newgarden, he lost some time getting in and off pit lane as well, because he actually lost ground on that pit stop where, you know, he had some fresher tires. And how about this side by side as Charlie Kimball and Veach? Charlie does get by through that pit stop sequence.
Yep, Charlie Kimball had been flirting with passing Zach Veach for the last handful of laps, but he finally is able to make that pass stick. So we have completed the round of stops with 123 laps complete of the 200 we're set to contest. Scott Dixon is P1. Felix Rosenquist is second. Simon Pagenaud is third. Joseph Newgarden is fourth. Charlie Kimball is fifth. Zach Veach is sixth. Connor Daly, seventh. Ed Carpenter, eighth. Colton Herta, ninth. And Marcus Erickson is tenth. Oliver Askew is 11th. 12th, Marco Andretti. 13th, Santino Ferrucci. 14th, Pato O'Ward. 15th is Ryan Hunter-Reay. 16th is Will Power. 17th is Tony Kanaan. 18th, Jack Harvey. 19th, Alexander Rossi. 20th, Graham Rahal. 21st, James Hinchcliffe. Out of the race in 22nd, Rita's VK. 23rd, Alex Palou. And Takuma Sato, 24th at Texas Motor Speedway. Davey Hamilton with 129 laps complete. We said that as the night progresses, you adjust on the race car with the hopes of making them better. No such luck for Joseph Newgarden. Your pole sitter led the first 34 laps of this race, has lost a couple of positions now as he's tumbled to sixth.
Well, here's the surprise. I thought that it was understeer in the car, that the front end just wouldn't turn. But surprisingly, in that pit stop, they took wing out of the nose of the car, meaning the back of the car is probably loose. So it looks to me like he's fighting the back of the car. Meanwhile, he falls down to, where is he at right now? Matter of fact, he's in sixth position. So Charlie Kimball running fourth now, Zach Veach fifth, Newgarden in sixth, and Connor Daly's working on trying to get by him right now as well.
Connor Daly has been running most of the night in the 10th position, and during this last sequence, Davey, he's been able to pick up a couple of positions. And boy, as we talked about earlier, if you've got a top 10 car, bring it home in a top 10 position. And I think he and Carlin Racing would be over the moon happy with this result.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's a great run for these guys. They just need to hang in there, get the checkered flag, and it's like a win for those guys right now.
Marcus Erickson makes an appearance in the top 10. Colton Hurt has been pretty consistently there. Been a good run for Ed Carpenter. And I don't think anyone can really fully appreciate how difficult it is for Ed to do what he does, Davey. I mean, to not only have the responsibility of running that race team and managing all the assets and the operation, but with this particular chassis and engine configuration, how difficult must it be for Ed Carpenter to only run ovals?
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, obviously, late in my career, that's what I try to do, is just the ovals and part-time, and it's the simple things of not being in a car week in, week out. So Ed does a tremendous job of being able to pull that off, and he has a lot of other hats, like you said, team owner, finding sponsorships, working with the other drivers. So he has a plateful, and I tell you what, he does a good job on these ovals. Matter of fact, Ed started, the 13th position. He now runs right now in the, in the 8th position in front of Colton Herta.
A couple of drivers, Davey, along that theme to kind of tip of the cap, if you will. Mark, you had mentioned Marcus Erickson. Marcus Erickson started this race runs currently in the 10th position. He is up 7 spots. He started 17th. Santino Ferrucci started the back of the field, 13 spots higher, now runs in 11th. Oliver Askew, the rookie, good run for him, now has moved up 9 spots from his starting position. He runs 11th. And then Connor Daly, who you talked about, started in the 19th position, now runs 7th.
Yeah. So we're just about ready to complete lap 136, and it has been an unbelievable pace. Scott Dixon is your leader. Felix Rosenquist is second. Simon Pagino is third. Charlie Kimball is fourth. Zach Veach is fifth. Joseph Newgarden is sixth. Connor Daly is 7th, Ed Carpenter is 8th, Colton Herta is 9th, and Marcus Erickson is in 10th place at Texas Motor Speedway. I am sure that you have been in this position many, many times in various forms of motorsports, Davey Hamilton, but boy, how much fun is it to be Scott Dixon right now?
Yeah, a lot of fun. Matter of fact, he has a huge lead at this point, but he's trying to put a lap on, believe it or not, Will Power. But Will is just fighting him tooth and nail. Matter of fact, the last lap they ran was a 2:06. So the pace is still up there, but man, I'll tell you right now, he's trying to make it. What we see now is Charlie Kimball trying to pass Will Power for that third, Simon Pagino for that third spot.
Nick Yeoman, if it weren't for the stop and go penalty that TK had to serve earlier, who knows? AJ Foyt may have 2 cars in the top 10, but one certainly doing very, very well is the 4 of Charlie Kimball.
Yeah, I mean, how much of a pleasant surprise is this for AJ Foyt Racing with all the changes that they had during the offseason? And Charlie Kimball is absolutely giving Simon Pagino fits into turn 1. The crew's telling her to be patient because they feel like towards the end of the run, Pagino's going to start backing up to Charlie Kimball. But boy, Mark, watching Charlie the last 4 or 5 laps, doesn't look like he's being patient. That 4 car looks awful strong and is in podium contention right now.
I think because of the number of people that were limited to be at some of these events, be at this event for most of these race teams, Davey, guys like AJ Foyt, Sam Schmidt, Rick Peterson, guys like that, they're not at the racetrack.
They're not at the racetrack, and it's tough. This is tough circumstances for, you know, everybody, including ourselves. This is a very difficult way of doing what we're doing, but we're all getting it done. But things will change when we have that normalcy. We get back to the regular events that we know, and it's going to be better for everybody. And competition is going to change a little bit as well.
Yeah, and as to that end, not very long ago, Jack Arute, who hosts a show on Sirius XM, caught up with the captain, Roger Penske, talking about the Indianapolis 500. Of course, the July 4th weekend with the Xfinity race, the Monster Energy race, and the IndyCar GP will run without fans. But right now, the Indianapolis 500 is set for August, ready to roll off the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And Roger Penske was asked, what are the chances in his mind right now that fans will be allowed for the greatest spectacle in racing?
We're going to run the Indy 500 in 2020. We're looking at all the aspects of that. We think our timetable was smart to move it out. I think it's almost 3 months from now when you think about it. Mm. You know, people are from level 3 to level 4 to level 5. And I think people now, restaurants are open. There's lots of things that are going on. So our moving that out, I think, was the right move. And that was really done with the team down in Indy and working, you know, with the state and with the city from the standpoint what was realistic. The good news is we see the COVID numbers, obviously the disturbances we're seeing in some of the cities now, obviously, you know, that's maybe taken front page. But, you know, with COVID coming down, we watch it every day in the state of Indiana. I think it's positive. So we will have an Indy 500 in August.
In the event that's not the case in August, Jake, there is a natural window in early October that it could possibly be moved then.
Absolutely. And I know that that has been, you know, obviously you have one eye on August 23rd and the events that can take place up into that. I think the number one preference, of course, is to get fans there because this is an event that is special to so many people. But the other eye is on those dates. So you have that flexibility, if you will, Mark, which I think should be encouraging to a lot of people.
So then, again, in case you missed it, you're just joining us and you haven't heard, the event coming up July 4th weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, including the GMR Grand Prix and also the Xfinity race and also the Brickyard, the NASCAR race, Monster Energy Cup race, Jake. That's going to be a two-day event, and we'll run it without fans.
And the Brian Clausen BC 39, which, of course, is the dirt track race that takes place in Turn 3 of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, that event has been unfortunately canceled for this particular year. But the rest of it that you talk about, Mark, is going to take place, just unfortunately, because I know how much it means to fans, and I know that the Speedway would love to have them there. The circumstances are such that we'll wait another year for that particular weekend for fan attendance.
Okay, Davey, put pen to paper. We're at lap 152, and we see cars coming to pit road. Joseph Newgarden coming. Colton Herta just came and went. What are we looking at in terms of one more stop after this?
Yeah, one more stop after this, and that the window's open. They only got three or four laps, most of these guys, before they have to pit. There's only, matter of fact, Scott Dixon is on lap 32. You can only go 35, and then there's going to be one more stop.
Nick Yeoman.
Yeah, we just saw Joseph Newgarden has pitted. This fellow American, Colton Herta, has pitted. So it's going to be very interesting because that magical number is 165 to get to the end on 35 laps on a sitting tire. So Davey's right. We've got to have one more pit stop. Still waiting to see movement. This looks like the PNC Bank guys, Mark, jumping over the wall. So Scott Dixon will be coming in momentarily.
And momentarily, you will see the 59 machine of Connor Daly work its way past you, Nick. He came to his crew and got service, got fuel, got tires, is back underway. The Gainbridge machine of Zach Veach, who's had a spirited run tonight. Good start to the season so far for Zach Veach. He's been running inside of the top 10 on most of this night. Pitting just in front of him, his teammate Ryan Hunter-Reay. Not been such a good night for Ryan Hunter-Reay as he comes to the attention of the DHL crew. Again, a mechanical issue early on resulted in a penalty that moved him to the rear of the field, and that's been a hole that he's not yet been able to dig out of. And in terms of a lead, Scott Dixon has had a lead of 2.6 seconds now as he heads to pit road. He relinquishes that lead only momentarily as he comes into the view of Nick Yeoman.
You know, Mark, I don't know where that nickname came from, the Wolfpack, for Scott Dixon's crew, but boy, it fits so well because they jump on that car like a pack of wolves. Another clean stop. No changes for Scott Dixon. Now, right behind him, his teammate Felix Rosenquist, an equally good stop. It's been a great day for Ganassi Racing. They run 1-2, and Mark, it looks like they're going to leave pit lane that way as well.
Yeah, Felix Rosenquist's crew, a couple of stops ago, Davey, was actually able to get him out in front of Scott Dixon.
Yeah, and two guys. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he gained one spot right there, which is impressive. But this time, Scott's going to beat him out.
And we see Simon Pagino come to pit road. And there is an issue on pit road involving Santino Ferrucci, Davey. It looks like he has crossed ways in his pit box.
Yeah, it looks like the same thing that that Power had earlier with the left rear tire not being put on completely. And that looks like it is. The right rear tire not being put on completely took off, and it came off and went sideways. He went sideways, and that's it.
Bit of a struggle for Ferrucci up until that point, Jake. He's had trouble hanging around the top 15.
Yeah, been a struggle for Ferrucci, although he started, of course, at the back of the field. They had a problem with the car. They opted not to go out for qualifying. That started him 24th. He had moved his way up into as high as 13th and then fell back down, had that issue, and that actually complicated things just a little bit for another guy who's had a rough night in Graham Rahal, who runs 17th, came into his pit stall and had a bit of a surprise when all of a sudden Santino Ferrucci was perpendicular when he had to go into parallel park, if you will, to get to his pit stall. So Graham Rahal had to think for a split second there about very gingerly going in, and Graham Rahal's gotten his service and headed back out.
Perpendicular and parallel park in the same sentence. That was nicely done.
You like that? I flunked geometry and algebra, Mark. That's the extent of my geometric knowledge.
Scott Dixon duking it out with Alexander Rossi, decides to kind of think better of it, back out it a little bit, and let Rossi go. But after we cycle through on the round of pit stops now with 160 laps complete, next time by, Scott Dixon is your leader. Felix Rosenquist is second. Joseph Newgarden third. Zach Veach is fourth. Ed Carpenter is fifth. Connor Daly is sixth. Simon Pagenaud, seventh. Charlie Kimball is eighth. Colton Herta is ninth. Marcus Ericsson is 10th. Oliver Askew is 11th. Ryan Hunter-Reay is 12th. Pato O'Ward is 13th. Marco Andretti, 14th. Will Power is 15th. Tony Kanaan is 16th. Jack Harvey, 17th. Alexander Rossi, 18th. Graham Rahal, 19th. James Hinchcliffe, 20th. Santino Ferrucci, 21st. 22nd, Rinus Vinkay. He is out of the race. Alex Palou is out of the race at 23rd. Same for Takuma Sato, who did not start. He'll finish 24th at Texas Motor Speedway. Welcome back, Genesis 300. You're listening to the NTT IndyCar Series on these great radio stations, WBHR, Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, WIOO in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and WASK in Lafayette, Indiana, the city that gave the world Nick Yeoman. And we would none of us ever be the same. We appreciate our great affiliates all across this nation being a part of IndyCar Radio and the IMS Radio Network. So, Davey, we might start seeing some pit strategy unfold here over the final 40 laps or so of this race.
Yeah, right now, if you're in towards the back of the pack, it's lap 167. You're within that 35-lap penalty. So come on in. You might as well come in. And if a yellow comes out, that will cycle you to the front when everybody else has to pit if it's under yellow, if a yellow happens to come out. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some of these tail markers. For example, like Marco Andretti, he fell back to 14th. Will Power in 15th. These guys might as well try to play the strategy.
Graham Rahal, a long night got longer. And, Davey, we thought, as they said, that the tire restriction on 35 laps was under review as Scott Dixon finally works his way around Alexander Rossi. We thought we might see them take that 35-lap restriction off. Clearly, that's not the case, as now Graham Rahal has been ordered to serve a pit road penalty because he exceeded the tire limitation.
Yeah, interesting to see that because he, you know, Graham's had a tough night starting off with his car won't fire up and then a stop and go penalty. So he seems to be making often pit stops and went over his allotment.
So Jake Query, it looks like that boy Scott Dixon is just in another area code. And to that end, if you look from say 15th or 16th on back, I mean at 15th you got Will Power, 16th Tony Kanaan, 17th Alexander Rossi, 18th Graham Rahal. You've got James Hinchcliffe at 20th. I mean, and Takuma Sato, of course, didn't even start the race. So those are some guys typically that you see among the contenders.
Yeah, realistically, Mark, it's safe to say that between 16th and 24th, so basically the back third of the field, obviously, you're looking at drivers that just simply had bugaboos, and it was one of those days and weekends where they were just chasing it from the get-go, whether it was a problem with the setup of the race car, a problem in qualifying, or in the case of Graham Rahal, for example, drive-through penalty. Same with Tony Kanaan earlier in this race. Alexander Rossi fell behind due to a penalty. So all of a sudden, they've just been chasing it. That is not the case for those that have been running up front and have been very strong. The field, in terms of the class of this field, have been drivers that have been the class of this field all night. Talking about Scott Dixon and his teammate Felix Rosenquist, then as well Joseph Newgarden, and tip of the cap to Zach Veach and Ed Carpenter that run fourth and fifth and have kind of broken in there, getting in front of Simon Pagenaud, who had been running with that pack for the most of the night.
Looks like whatever issues Santino Ferrucci had in his pit box have ended his night. He is out of the car, so the evening has ended for Santino Ferrucci as Scott Dixon leads his teammate Felix Rosenquist by 0.6 seconds. Joseph Newgarden is third. Zach Veach is fourth. Ed Carpenter is fifth. Connor Daly is sixth. Simon Pagenaud is seventh. Charlie Kimball is eighth. Colton Herta is ninth. Marcus Ericsson is 10th with 174 laps complete in the Genesis 300 at Texas Motor Speedway. Gosh, we look at the Texas sky and we see the sun has not set yet. And, Davey, there's a pretty good chance this thing is not going to finish with the lights have taken over at Texas Motor Speedway. Of course, we're 48 laps shorter than what we normally are here in Texas.
That's correct. A little bit shorter and actually 20 laps to go. It's definitely going to be light when this race finishes.
Gosh, Jake, this pace has just been unbelievable.
Yeah, it's been a furious pace. There's no question about it. And, of course, a lot of that is because of the fact that we've only had the one caution. That caution involving two rookies early in this race, Rinus PK losing control of his car, taking out his fellow rookie Alex Palou, and that is the only time that we have had an incident here. Knock on wood, we certainly hope that's the case. Good news is, safe race, Mark. Despite the one incident, nobody, of course, in a situation that they didn't walk away from.
Question asked, question answered. When will we start seeing cars coming to pit road? We can say on lap 180, your pole sitter, defending series champion, the driver who led the first 30-plus laps of this race. It's not been smooth sailing, but all in all, poised for a podium finish, Nick Yeoman, Joseph Newgarden.
No, and this is not surprising at all to see Newgarden pit with 18 to go, because we've seen he can't go 35 lap stints. That car starts to fall off around lap 25 to 26. Good final pit stop for Joseph Newgarden as Mark, he is trying to hold off Zach Beach and grab that final step on the podium.
That observation as he came into the pit box, Davey, was spot on. He can't go 35
laps. He can't go 35 laps. Car and either really any of the Penske cars, and nothing could happen if a yellow's happened to come out. You know, these guys are going to cycle to the front.
Nick Yeoman.
And Simon Pagenaud's thinking that exact same strategy, Davey, as Kyle Moyer and Ben Bretzman called him in. He'll peel out a lot of smoke off of those rear tires as Simon Pagenaud, the defending Indy 500 winner, completes his final pit stop.
The 26 of Zach Veach, who's been in the top five or six all night long, Jake, he comes to the attention of the Gainbridge crew.
Yeah, Zach Veach has had a really strong night. When he came in, as you talked about, he was finding himself right there in that top five or six. He got just a little bit loose leaving the pits. He left seventh position when he came into the pits. We'll see where he cycles back through.
Been a top 10 night for the 59 of Connor Daly. We saw him come to the attention of his Carlin crew. He's back out onto the race course.
He made his final stop. Good stop. Going to see where he cycles back out. The leader still hasn't made his way, which is a little bit surprising. If the yellow was to come out right now, he'd be in big, big trouble because a lot of guys would cycle away in front of him, and he's going to be one of the last guys. Here comes his teammate right now for that final pit stop.
Yeah, that's what's interesting to note when you have, two drivers in the same team. Actually, they have three if you include Marcus Ericsson, but he and Dixon running nose to tail. Dixon decides to stay out another lap, and Felix Rosenqvist, Davey, is going to go to pit road. And while we watch Rosenqvist make that 60-mile-an-hour haul, we see Charlie Kimball exiting pit road. But, Nick, you have Rosenqvist.
Yeah, I'm not sure Rosenqvist has a car good enough to beat Dixon, but if he can get in and out of pit lane and Dixon's crew stumbles, he might just steal this victory. Looks like a pretty good stop. Four tires and fuel for Felix Rosenqvist.
As good as that Wolfpack crew is, Felix Rosenqvist's crew's been spot on.
Yeah,
tonight.
They've been spot on. And he's going to hopefully get some clean air. Not hopefully, but I mean more likely. We're trying to find some clean air, some clean track, really cut some laps into what Scott Dixon can do right now and try to get ahead of him through this cycle.
Colton Herta hanging around the top 10, top 12. He's been the guy that's opened the pit window or opened the floodgates to the pit road the last couple of times. This time he stops a little deeper into the sequences compared to everybody else. And, Davey, we look at Scott Dixon, halfway point of the back straightaway.
Here he comes.
And he is going to woe it up plenty now. Scott Dixon has led the lion's share of the laps tonight. He has seen his lead get to as much as 8.7 seconds on this night. This most recent stint, though, saw him being stalked by his young teammate, Felix Rosenqvist, the guy he told Chip Ganassi he wanted as his teammate. The Wolfpack awaiting the PNC bank machine of Scott Dixon at Texas Motor Speedway.
Scott Dixon has been perfect. His car has been perfect. His crew has been perfect. But none of it'll matter if they're not perfect on this final stop. Service complete for Scott Dixon. He peels out. One of the crew members pushes on that rear wing. And now, Mark, we turn our attention back to the racetrack. Can Dixon stay ahead of Rosenqvist?
Here comes Felix Rosenqvist and that NTT data machine. He's just now approaching the start-finish line. And we'll wait and see where he cycles back in. I think Dixon, Davey, it looks like he's going to be able to get off of pit road and get up to speed. Although he's going to have to pedal some. He's just out coming off of pit road. Side-by-side race down the back straightaway. And it looks like Scott Dixon sees Felix Rosenqvist. Does he get bunched up in some traffic?
Yeah, well, they're both. I think Felix got wrapped up in traffic. He sure did. He got behind a car couldn't get through. So that leaves Scott Dixon, who comes out traffic as well. But he does maintain the lead.
A couple of lappers tied up Dixon in a side-by-side battle. And we see Felix Rosenquist. He lost it in turn number two. He got into traffic and lost it, Jay Query.
I think it was James Hinchcliffe that he caught. Now, whether or not they made contact, I don't know. But what happened was it was Hinchcliffe that originally kind of picked Rosenquist, really at the no fault of either, as Rosenquist found his way when Dixon was blending in. And I think it might have been just, Davey, that dirty air that caught on Felix Rosenquist. Don't know if they made contact or not. We'll get a look at it. But there's no question about the fact that it was James Hinchcliffe and Rosenquist that were virtually side by side. That rear end stepped around and a very disappointed, and you can tell, absolutely incredulous Felix Rosenquist sits inside his car now and waits for that AMR safety.
Yeah, team. It was just unfortunate. We've seen Marco Andretti able to go by both of them, although a lap down and not for position. He went by both of those guys on the outside, so Felix tried to do it, and it looked like we're going to watch a replay right now. Yeah, look where Hitch is. Hitch slid way up the racetrack. He was way out and just pushed Rosenquist. Basically, he just pushed Rosenquist up where there's absolutely no grip. So Hinchcliffe, he was, as you can see right there, he's way out of the groove where, you know, he's already up in the black himself. So, man, just maybe he's trying to stay out of the way, but unfortunately he just pushed Rosenquist right in the fence.
A promising night comes to an end against the turn two wall for Felix Rosenquist on lap 190 at Texas Motor Speedway. Welcome back. Mark James, Davey Hamilton, Jake Query, along with Nick Yeoman. And laps continue to wind down here. A single car incident involving Felix Rosenquist. And I don't think it was an instance in which Rosenquist was being overly aggressive, Davey. He was just trying to work his way through traffic so he could try to keep pace with his teammate, the leader, Scott Dixon. He just got caught up in some traffic. James Hinchcliffe's car got loose, and after that, he's kind of long for the ride.
Yeah, unfortunately, he was being very patient. And, you know, he's seen Marco Andretti go by him and by Hinchcliffe. So he thought, well, hey, I'm off pace. I'm going to go by Hinchcliffe. Unfortunately, it looked like Hinchcliffe got loose, moved way up, and just pushed Rosenquist out with no man's land and nothing could do but just hang on.
Issues for the car of Marcus Ericsson as his team is pushing it all the way up pit road, and they cannot get that car to fire just yet. Not really been in contention most of this night, so it's been a bit of a struggle for Marcus Ericsson. We can tell you now, 195 laps will be completed next time by Scott Dixon, Simon Pagenaud, Joseph Newgarden, Ed Carpenter, and Zach Veach, your top five. Connor Daly up to sixth. Colton Herta is seventh. Oliver Askew is eighth. Ninth place for Ryan Hunter-Reay. 10th place for Tony Kanaan. He has come storming back to 10th place after serving that penalty early on. His teammate Charlie Kimball is 11th. Pato O'Ward is 12th. Marco Andretti is 13th. Jack Harvey is 14th. 15th, Will Power. 16th, Alexander Rossi. James Hinchcliffe is 17th. Graham Rahal is 18th. Marcus Ericsson is 19th. Felix Rosenquist will finish 20th. Santino Ferrucci, 21st, 22nd. Rinus VK, 23rd, Alex Palou, and 24th, Takuma Sato.
Mark, you can bet that you were talking about the fact this has been a shortened event from years past. Chip Ganassi is wishing this had been a 190-lap race because that incident right there, Felix Rosenquist, and then the bad luck for Marcus Ericsson as well. So two of his cars, two-thirds of them. Don't get me wrong, he's happy with what's happening up front, but in terms of those other two cars, real rough, rough outing here towards the end of this race.
I don't think we've had an opportunity, as you stated, Davey, you're spot on it. I mean, we've had a chance to review it two or three times now, he just got up in no man's land, and it looked like all of a sudden it was like that car was running on a patch of ice.
You know what's so sad about Texas Motor Speedway? It's known to have two and three grooves, and now, unfortunately, with the sealant they put on there, restricts it to one, which is very unfortunate. So hopefully they'll get that grinder out, get that stuff off there, and make this a two and three groove racetrack. Not just for passing, but just for like that. A guy just tries to go up there, and it just hits ice, and nothing you can do. So,
well, I think it's indicative of what the stark contrasts are between racing series. I mean, you can make changes to a racetrack to improve it for one series, but it might be a hindrance to another.
Yeah, and that's true. And you look at through the monitors that we're not there live, just look at the monitors, and you look at that sealant, and it's shiny. It's
right.
Like ice.
Yep.
And whenever that happens, normally that's what you see is what you get, and that is no grip.
We'll see if anybody has anything for Scott Dixon as we're going green. It's Simon Pagenaud, Joseph Newgarden, Ed Carpenter, and Zach Veach, Jay Query. They're all in tow into turn number one.
Yeah, Scott Dixon's going to make sure that's exactly where they stay. Going into turn number one, Scott Dixon holds on to that lead with Simon Pagenaud just behind him. This has been the class of the night, talking about Dixon, Pagenaud, Dixon as well, Newgarden, and then Ed Carpenter running in the third position. So you take a look at it now as Scott Dixon tries to hold on here in the closing laps of this race.
I don't know with some of the cars a lap down that are kind of shoehorned in between them. I think it's pretty much smooth sailing, Davey, for Scott Dixon.
Yeah, without a doubt. I was really surprised they didn't move the lap cars to the back, which they did. They left a lot of lap cars in between those guys. Very surprising. It is what it is, but it makes it easy selling for Scott Dixon coming down for that white flag.
Already the lead is 2.2 seconds for Scott Dixon, and the white flag is in the hand of the starter. He sets up for turn number two, a dominant night for Scott Dixon.
Scott Dixon with 46 career wins. He is trying to make it 47. He could tie A.J. Foyt with 18 seasons with the victory. Mark James, help bring home Scott Dixon in this opener.
Setting up for turn number four for the final time. He has been so dominant all night long as a yellow flag is out, and Scott Dixon will go across the start-finish line with a checkered flag and a yellow flag. He wins the Genesis 300. Simon Pagenaud finishes second. Joseph Newgarden is third. Zach Veach finishes fourth. And Ed Carpenter finishes fifth at Texas Motor Speedway. Geico fastest lap of the race turned in by Felix Rosenquist with a lap of 215.025. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It is easy. Felix Rosenquist, fastest lap of the race, and I guess that's all he has to hang his hat on now. 20th place finish, Davey, after he was in contention for a win.
Yeah, that bad few laps for Chip, but a great lap. He ends up with the winner, but could have very well been first and second, and Erickson had his problem as well. So, man, Scott keeps breaking these records, doesn't he? And another win for Ganassi Racing. Great run tonight for those guys.
Let's not be so quick, Davey, to pass the baton to these quote-unquote young guns, because this old dog right here is still pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I can still get the job done, and he'll continue doing that, I think, for a long time. So pretty strange victory lane. Nobody there. Just Scott, Eddie Gossage, and Chip Ganassi right now. So, boy, it's different, but he the smile on Scott's face until he puts that mask on is pretty vibrant.
Mark, Scott has now won, Scott Dixon, 47 IndyCar races. That leaves him just five shy of Mario Andretti. Of course, A.J. Foyt holds that record with 67. He has now won a race in 18 different IndyCar seasons. That ties A.J. Foyt. And he extends, and this is amazing when you think about it, Mark and Davey, he extends his already existing record to 16 consecutive seasons with at least one victory. An impressive performance today from the Iceman, Scott Dixon.
One of those rare combinations, Davey, where the right guy ends up with the right team at the right time.
Yeah, sure was. And he's, like I say, 16 years in a row with a win and all the championships and 500 wins. And the guy is just amazing. And by the way, go look how many second place and third place finishes he has, too. I mean, he's always in the game.
Joseph Newgarden will join Simon Pagenaud and Scott Dixon on the podium. Pagenaud finished second. Newgarden was third. A couple of really good runs, Davey, among the top ten. How about Zach Veach, a fourth-place finish? Ed Carpenter was fifth. Connor Daly, sixth place. Colton Herta, eighth. All of the issues Ryan Hunter-Reay had early on, Davey, he comes back to finish eighth. An outstanding start to the season for rookie Oliver Askew. He finishes ninth. And Tony Kanaan completes the top ten. We'll get Davey's comments in a minute. Let's go to Nick Yeoman.
Yeah, let's get a word from our winner, Scott Dixon, back in victory lane here at Texas Motor Speedway. How perfect was that race car and that race team on those pit stops all night?
Everybody did an amazing job. You know, we even tuned the car. We had some difference, I think, from, you know, when it went from day to night. We had to work on it. You know, we had some understeer, then we had some oversteer. Got to say, the Firestone tires were fantastic, though. There was, you know, almost no fall off for us. You know, we really tried to get after it. We had to push really hard on some laps. You know, to be able to pull those outside moves, you know, into one is really difficult, especially with the current configuration. But, you know, kudos to Chip and everybody on the team and Cannon, his first race with the team, which is always nice to go off with a win. So just super proud of the team.
I know you could see Felix Rosenquist behind you there coming up to that last pit stop. A little nervous in those guys, or all the confidence in the world in that crew?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Felix had a strong race. You know, he had to pass a lot of good guys to get to where he was at. They had some really clean pit stops, actually. They challenged us on one of them there and kind of got past. We had a bit of a bobble. Some my fault, too, not getting in the box right. But, you know, we got away when it counted. You know, I feel bad for Felix. I'm not sure what happened there. But, you know, you're racing at the end for the win, and, you know, he was going to be pushing extremely hard to try and jump us, and we were trying to do the same thing.
Enjoy firing those six shooters here in
Victory
Lane.
I can't wait, man. It's the best thing about this. Cheers.
All right, Scott Dixon in Victory Lane. A winner once again, Mark James, here at Texas.
I know the BorgWarner is much revered, Davey, but I think people have become very fond of the cowboy hat, the six shooters.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, just some character. And as we mentioned before, it matches what Texas is all about. And so it's pretty exciting for Scott. Not the first time he's done it, as you said. How many wins is it for him at this track now? Does that put it up, I think, to seven? Is that accurate?
Yeah, he's starting to get mail here, just like he does at Mid-Ohio for sure. So, you know, good run for Scott Dixon, most assuredly. Post-race festivities continue here at Texas Motor Speedway. Pause 10 seconds for station identification on the IndyCar Radio Network. Been a long time since last late September at Laguna Seca, Davey Hamilton, but I'd say for Scott Dixon, it was worth the wait, huh?
Yeah, long way. That guy, just amazing. Great race for him. Great strategy. Well, the strategy wasn't there, but they were able just to keep him up front the entire time. And, you know, but I'll tell you, I'm almost more impressed with the guys behind him. Scott made it look easy. Joseph Newgarden and Simon Pagenaud did not have good race cars in long runs. They were struggling. They fell back. They were losing pace. But when it all comes to the end, it finds themselves in second and third position, then how about Zach Veach leading that Andretti group to a fourth-place finish?
Well, you know, we do want to make mention that right at the checkers, there was a caution because there was a single-car incident involving Charlie Kimball. He got too high into turn number two, smacked the wall on the outside, then went down to the inside retaining wall. But I guess if you're Charlie, I know you're frustrated and aggravated, but when all is said and done, despite that, A.J. Foyt Racing is going to walk away from Texas Motor Speedway with Tony Kanaan finishing 10th and Charlie Kimball finishing 11th.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I mean, I think they must have had some – well, Tony, obviously, his issue with speed in the pits was one problem. But I think Charlie was in 4th and 5th position most of this race. I think that last stop, without us being able to see it, Mark, I'm just taking – they must have had a little glitch in that last stop and lost some positions and put him in a position he wasn't used to.
A couple of other good finishes. We mentioned Oliver Askew finished ninth. Pato Award finishes 12th. Will Power, never in contention. He finished 13th. Marco Andretti faded toward the end, 14th. Alexander Rossi got off to a rough start. He finishes 15th. Jack Harvey was 16th. Graham Rahal, been a nightmarish night for him as well, 17th. James Hinchcliffe finished 18th. Marcus Ericsson was 19th. He had some late race issues, but the 20th place finish for Felix Rosenquist, jQuery, does not tell the story about what an impressive run he had tonight.
No, and you could see it. You know, when Felix Rosenquist got loose with that incident with James Hinchcliffe, again, no contact, but it pushed Felix Rosenquist up into that icy area, for lack of a better phrase. And you could see the disappointment, the frustration, and just the overall disbelief in Felix Rosenquist because he was so close to what could have been a fantastic finish, possibly a win, but certainly a podium finish, and then he sees it all of a sudden go away. Another driver who did have that night that was a very positive one in terms of one of the great finishes and the great stories, I should say, in the top five. We're talking about the man down with Nick Yeoman. Nick?
Yeah, that's right, Jake. Zach Veach comes home with a fourth-place finish. I heard you say earlier this week, man, I love racing here at Texas. Turn two hasn't been very friendly to you. How great is it to come away with a result?
Man, it's something we knew that we could do from our rookie year here. You know, I think in 2018 we were all the way up to third at one point, and then I hit the wall. Last year I think we were running sixth or seventh, and I hit the wall. So trust me, that was on my mind every time I went through turn two tonight, and I'm just happy to finally put it together here. I'm going to win this race one day. Texas has always been one of those places that's just fit. I just need to get a little more right next time.
Obviously, now we get into the stretch run of the season, hopefully. How big is this to start the season off now here in Texas with a fourth-place finish?
It's incredible, especially with the 4 weeks that we have off. You know, you really wanted to come out of here with a good result to kind of mull over for the next 4 weeks. So it's incredible to say we're in the top five of the IndyCar points. You know, it's only one race in, but we're going to go to IndyGP. And the one thing that we brought into this weekend that was so different was just the mindset of having fun and enjoying the process of putting a car together. And I think as long as we keep that true to our values all year, we're going to have a great season.
Hey, great job tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Zach Veach comes home with a fourth-place finish.
You know, I sat with that kid at a restaurant in Toronto a few years ago when his career had flat stalled after Indy Lights. I mean, he had no opportunities and no hopes. And I said, do you have a plan B at all? And he said, well, he said, if I developed a plan B, I think that means I might lose focus on plan A. And to that end, he was one of those guys that sat at home and waited on the phone to ring. He was at the racetrack. He was a pit reporter for us at Long Beach, and a year later, he was fourth at Long Beach.
Yeah, that's right. No, he worked hard for it, and that we talked about several people that are determined to get here, that are good, that want to be here, that Connor's one of them, that they will not give up. And Zach, he drives two-seaters with us. He drives pace cars. He did pit reporting for us. I mean, the guy, he'll do anything it takes to be at the racetrack and make it happen. And just the way he got his sponsor was amazing. And what a fantastic sponsor. Put him with a great team with Andretti. Man, it's really exciting to see him with such a good result.
Final thoughts and a full field rundown when we come back. Texas Motor Speedway. Jake Query, for those that say, oh, there wasn't any passing, it was single file, you couldn't pass two. I don't care about that. We're back to racing in the NTT IndyCar Series, and I enjoyed this race tonight.
Mark, it was great. You know, it felt like with everything that everyone has been through, and that includes really, you know, the common sacrifice of everybody to give up for a 60 to 90 day period, the things that we've enjoyed, the things that we've just become accustomed to us in the spring and summer. To be able to get back tonight and on a warm night, sit down, watch a race in the conditions that you wondered how the heat was going to come into play, it just felt good again. And it feels like it has been literally – what's strange to me is last year's season finale seems one-third the amount of time ago that it seems like when we were in St. Pete and all of a sudden the world changed. That seems like it was 10 years ago. So it was an awfully, awfully lot of fun tonight, and certainly appreciate those that listened along.
Good to be back with you, and we hit the ground running, I think, and can't wait till we get to July 4th weekend. Well done, as always, Jake Davey. Anders Krohn, magnificent job keeping the seat warm for you the past couple of years, but welcome home.
Thank you, man. It's good to be back. And as Jake said, man, the world's changed on us from March till now, and we've seen different races at Texas. We've seen probably more pack racing, make it more exciting. But it's just good to get these guys back on track, seeing some light at the end of the tunnel to get to some normalcy in our sport and all sports in general. But it's fun to watch it. No surprise who the winner is, but I think there's some good surprises and some encouraging things for some teams down the line.
Welcome back. We'll see you soon.
All right, man. Thank you.
Davey Hamilton, the Genesis 300 at Texas Motor Speedway is brought to you by Firestone, the official tire of the NTT IndyCar Series for driving IndyCar legends. GEICO, whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to GEICO.com today. Speedway, the official convenience store and fuel of IndyCar. Safety Clean, official environmental service partner of the NTT IndyCar Series. Racing Electronics, in-car race communications provided by Racing Electronics. The Children's Foundation, proud sponsor of Racing for Kids. The Indy Racing Experience, the fastest seat in sports. Hinchman Racing Uniforms, nothing fits like a Hinchman. By NTT, official technology partner of the NTT IndyCar Series. The network director is Chris Pollack. Our chief engineer is Rick Evans. Our driver analyst, Davey Hamilton. Calling the race today alongside me was Jake Query in the pits, Nick Yeoman. And today we welcome Sam Rumson to the IndyCar radio crew as our new in-studio producer. This is Mark James inviting you to join us Saturday, July 4th as we drop the green flag on a whole weekend of racing when the NTT IndyCar Series returns to the road course at the famed Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the GMR Grand Prix. Then be sure to stay tuned as we team up with the crew of the Performance Racing Network for the Brickyard 400 on July 5th. In the meantime, check out classic IndyCar races 24/7. Listen at IndyCarRadio.com or follow us on your TuneIn app wherever you go. We'll be right back.
The preceding was an exclusive copyrighted presentation of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.